all bad things.
Tragedies, disasters. Bad things.
Trigger warning for everything possible.
What?
Hello.
Okay.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm David.
And this is All Bad Things.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Follow us on Insta, X, Facebook, TikTok, Twitch, Blue Sky, Threads at All Bad Things Pod. Email us allbadthingspod@gmail.com. Join our Facebook discussion group, our subreddit, and our Discord.
Do all of those things.
Yes. Ha!
I have no idea what that was trying to be.
You'll find out.
Okay. This should be interesting. What do you have there?
This is my little mocktail, my little Fogarita. I don't know what you call a fake margarita. That's, do you want to try it?
Yeah, that sounds like a good name. Fogarita?
Fogarita? Fogarita? Fargarita? Fargarita sounds like from North Dakota.
Fargarita?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wanted to discuss the fact that we covered a bridge collapse last week.
Yeah.
And then
this thing happened.
Like 24 hours after we covered it, or a little bit more. It was like
2 days.
Super early Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
A bridge collapsed.
Well, I mean,
it got ran into, to be clear.
Yes.
Yes. So the Francis Key.
Well, to be clear,
Scott Key.
If you listen to right wing media, there are 20 different explanations for everything from wokeness to DEI.
Oh no, are they saying that it was a diversity hire issue? Like,
yeah.
That's the whole Boeing storyline.
Well, it's
too,
the new,
it?
It's this year's
catch-all cause du jour.
Right, last year was a CRT, or like 2 years in a row was CRT.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it just means that they don't like non-white people. That's just what they're, you might want to cut that.
Sorry, it's okay. We're doing a Nicole script, and that was Nicole.
Oh, was that Nicole? Oh, okay.
But that was just because I told her that I just discovered that The Traitors New Zealand is on Peacock, and I was very excited about it. So.
Okay.
So, Nicole, if you're hearing this, now you know when we recorded. Anyway, yeah, the bridge got run into by a gigantic cargo ship,
that lost power.
That lost power. So it's looking like an accident.
Everything that they've done leads to it was an accident.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happened in the middle of the morning.
The dead of night.
Well, that's what
like
the 1 middle
a.m. or
right,
something.
Yeah. Middle of the morning, meaning at nighttime. But
okay.
Well, like early in the morning.
I gotcha.
And apparently, they did everything they were supposed to do when the power goes out.
Called a mayday and
then dragged their anchors, which is what you're supposed
to do. Try and stop.
Well, but apparently one of the anchors wound up doing was steering it into
column. Okay.
Obviously not on purpose, they
followed procedure, just that
it's like the second I saw this thing on Tuesday morning, whatever, mm-hmm. I was like, I can't wait to hear like what crazy, stupid, weird conspiracies come out of this one.
So what type of stuff is coming in? Oh, it's all like diversity.
Oh, just the diversity hires, In the Barry movie that Netflix did that I've never seen, that I never will watch.
Barry?
Yeah, that's what it was called.
B-A-R-R-Y?
Yes, about Barack Obama. Apparently that was his nickname. Apparently in that film, there was like a cargo ship crash somewhere in the film, so Barack Obama had something to do with it, because
anytime something happens that it had anything to do.
Thanks, Obama. I mean, he was a shitty president, but I mean, if you listen to a right winger talk about it, he was like some kind of like tortured genius, like a rock star almost.
Jeez.
The things that he did.
Oh, like orchestrate the mastermind.
It's like,
it's
like nobody does that. It's like the only people that think of that are like people like you.
Yeah,
not you.
And only after the fact.
I'm speaking to a fictitious you.
No, I gotcha.
With your weird shit that you say on the internet.
So weird. But
yeah, that was, six people, apparently. They've announced that those, I don't know if they found them yet, but I think that what they've announced is It's not a search and rescue. It's not a search and rescue. It's a search. It's a rescue and it's a recovery operation.
So there were 8 people working on fixing the bridge.
Right. And apparently, like, 2 of them got off.
Yeah, two of them actually survived, mm-hmm. thankfully.
Yeah.
Then they found 2 bodies, recovered 2 bodies, and then 4 people are presumed dead and missing. I mean, this is as of the time that we are recording.
It's been 3 days. Though, yeah. Unfortunately, they've passed away.
Which is
all
horrible, and unfortunately, it'll probably be something we cover in the future.
But yeah, I mean, like, imagine if this had happened, like, during, I mean, Baltimore, traffic-wise, is one of the most congested cities in the entire country.
Yeah.
Probably, I would say probably in the world, too.
It is, like, the death toll would have been staggering.
Oh, my God, if this had happened at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about thousands of people.
Or rush hour, or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that it's good that it happened to those 8 people.
No.
It's horrible.
But that's what
better to have not happened.
But unfortunately, like sane people have to get in there and make a reasonable argument for why this wasn't a terror attack, because why would you do a terror attack in Baltimore at 1:30 in the fucking morning?
It's a terrible terrorist attack. Maybe we're going to sail a giant cargo ship.
And if it was, it was like they were the JV team. Like, all right, let's see if they can do this one, and maybe we'll call them up.
Oh, these were
these are the B team
terrorist
players.
Auditions.
Yeah, they were just like on the B team. Like, like the other guys had these guys aren't as good as these guys, but we'll send them on this. You know.
Can you imagine, like, what a ridiculous idea for a terrorist attack? A giant cargo ship, like,
we're gonna make it lose power.
In. Yeah.
Everybody's gonna do everything right because we don't want to make it seem like a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna take out one of the chinks in the chain from the anchor, and that's gonna make it steer into the column.
Right.
Bro.
Like, absolute mastermind.
It'll happen. Watch, bro. Watch. And there'll be, like, some people on the bridge.
Well, to be fair, I never liked the song. But I didn't want his bridge to collapse. Francis Scott Key.
Oh,
I'm just making a joke. I don't love the national anthem. I don't. As a song, it's not a good song. And it's a terrible anthem. It's like
O Canada
is way
better.
Yes, I like O Canada, yeah, even though that is too long. No. Like, we need to
O Canada's like 45 seconds. It's like the perfect length.
No, it's not. It's longer than that.
Maybe a minute.
Yeah,
it's like a shift in hockey. They did that, like, on purpose. 45 seconds to a minute.
Every national anthem just needs to be like, go America!
Well, and I can't remember which documentary it was. It might have been like a Michael Moore one that I watched way back in the day. Thought that our national anthem should be "We Will Rock You."
That'd be pretty cool. Except it's written by a British band,
right? But he didn't. I think he brought that up and said, like, nobody will care if it's by Queen.
It was written by Brian May, who is, like, very much. I think he's Sir Brian Mayo, Order of the British Empire.
Yeah, because I think he was talking about that. Like, I don't think we had gone to we had done the Iraq War for the second time yet, but it was in the lead up to it, and he jokingly said, "Yeah, we should change our, like, because when we're coming over with the bombs, it would be all dramatic as." We Will Rock You with that guitar solo.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like in Apocalypse Now with whoever the composer was that was playing. You've probably never seen that movie.
I have seen Apocalypse Now. What, the Adagio for Strings, that super sad orchestra song?
No, this wasn't
sad.
This was they're attacking a village. And it's a,
what song was it?
I don't know.
Okay. I only saw it once because that was a really damn
impressive
film.
Yeah. Most 70s films, you just need to see once.
I watched...
And it's like, wow, you guys were really fucked up.
Apocalypse Now, Full Metal Jacket, and Deer Hunter, all within a
I was going to say, as a triple feature.
Yeah. I liked Deer Hunter. I didn't like the other two. They're probably more accurate or whatever, but they were grim. They were so grim and gritty. I can't do that. Deer Hunter was a little more poetic, but...
Anyway. That was Movie Corner. Maybe this is why our listens are cutting out. Because we're 10 minutes in, we haven't even started talking about
whatever our topic
is.
We have a listener script, and it is Nicole, who I will respond to. All of your texts, Nicole. I made the mistake of texting you right before we started recording. That's on me. All right. So this is the story. Now, Nicole gave me several options for titles. But there's one that I particularly like, so I'm going to pick that one. This is the story of Nova Rupta.
Okay.
Other alternate titles are The Great Eruption of 1912 or the 1912 Katmai Eruption.
So we're doing a volcano,
it sounds yes. like. Yes. So now does my head... It sounds more like a bomb. That's not Anyway, actually, it doesn't
sound
sound silly. This is the story of the Great Eruption of 1912, located in what is now Katmai National Park. So we got another national parks, U.S. National Park story. Sources include the National Park Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the other BLM.
he's here with the BLM guys. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yes, what?
Yeah.
That was White Lotus.
Yeah.
You work with BLM, yes, Jennifer Coolidge. Yeah, the Bureau of Land Management. She thought he was like all woke and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Bureau of Land Management, the Alaska Native Federation, USGS.gov, AP News, and the Alaska Volcano Observatory. Oh, sorry, more. The U.S. Census. More than just parks.com, UA Museum of the North, Alaska.org, and National Geographic. Now, it's been a while since I've written an Alaska script, but I do want to take a moment to corrections corner myself. In most, if not all of my previous Alaska-based scripts, I've referred to the people who have lived there, as they put it, since time immemorial, as Native Alaskans. The correct term, not the preferred term, but the correct term is Alaska Natives. I was not aware of that at the time I wrote those other scripts, but I've since been educated, and thank you to those that took the time to do that. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Alaska Natives. All right, so Katmai National Park. Katmai? I wonder if it's Katmai or Katmai. How would you pronounce K-A-T-M-A-I?
I would probably pronounce it Katmai.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like a Mai Tai is M-A-I, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll go with that. Sorry, Nicole. That's wrong. Katmai National Park and Preserve is one of 8 national parks in the U.S. state of Alaska. Between the 8 national parks and other national park units, Alaska has 60% of all land managed by the U.S. National Park Service, as well as some lands managed by the Forest Service or Bureau of Land Management. It is so easy to forget how huge Alaska is.
Yeah, it's basically like the enormous. It's basically like the size of the lower 48.
Or at least like half of it or mm-hmm. something. Yeah, it's like
it stretches out Texas. At least that far. If you put it over like on the old overhead projectors, if you were going to put the
right.
Alaska over North uh-huh. America, like it covers quite a bit of it.
There is a website, and I can find it if I Google it, but it shows you the actual size of various countries relative to others. Like you can click on the country on the map and drag it to another part of the world to see how the country really compares in size, because you know when we see flat maps it's not fully representative of the size of everything because we live on a globe despite what any flat earthers may say. So it gives you a better perspective of how big everything is in relation to each other. So.
Well, it's funny. We also fought in battles in Alaska in World War II with the Japanese aircraft mostly. So, oh,
but it so was yes, not so yes, the lower, state of the Union.
The lower 48 has not been attacked, well, unless you count 9/11, but has not been in a war since the right. War of 1812. But funny enough...
No, Civil War.
Well, yes. But funny enough, yeah, that's what I meant to say, that during World War II, both of our territories...
Yeah. And we states.
We had battles in.
Yep. Future yes, states.
Hawaii and Alaska. And we're like, okay.
That's true.
We had wars, like, in your... let's be a state. have a state.
The 8 national... Oh, but Puerto Rico, we can never let in, no. Apparently.
No. They're too brown.
Yeah, and you know damn well that's exactly what is going on.
We don't want their liberal policies here, even though they're, like, most of those people are, like, I mean, most Latinas are, like, right-wing for the most part, because religion and stuff like that.
Let us not paint people with too broad a brush. We discussed, to a certain extent, at least Cuban politics and mm-hmm. religion and how that might play into politics. I am sure not going to say on this show that, well, you know, most Latinos are right wing. That is, that is not something I am comfortable saying.
Yeah, that's true.
I have not seen any demographic statistics, so I am not comfortable saying that.
We certainly do know why they're not a state, though.
Puerto Rico?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, any of the other territories. We have like 5 different territories.
Right, right. It's absolutely racism and also just not giving people access to rights and such. What? So yeah, and resources.
Who wants that?
Yeah, but we'll go throw toilet paper at their heads. Isn't that what?
In the form of taking like a free throw.
A basketball shot. Jeez.
Boom.
Man, that was like, that was 6 years ago or something.
No, that was like 7 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh my god. that was such a what an alternate reality we're living in. The 8 national parks are a combined 54 million acres.
Wow.
While I love national parks,
and Alaska has 60% of them? Is that what it's
saying? Alaska has 60% of all land by the U.S. National Park Service.
Okay, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess so. I guess then, yes, because... Oh, no. The 8 national parks in Alaska total 54 million acres.
I see.
Acres,
yeah. Oh, okay. Wow, that's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are states that are not even close to that big.
Yeah, yeah. While I love national parks and love that they're referred to in promotional material as America's best idea, it is important to recognize the complicated relationship the U.S. government has with Alaska Natives and Native Americans in general. I have not forgotten how the news stations were providing essentially 24/7 coverage of people in England walking past Queen Elizabeth II's coffin while people in Alaska, almost entirely Native communities, suffered and died from a typhoon that hit the same week. I didn't know about that. And that goes to show what our news cycle, was emphasizing. I've been planning for years to write a script about that typhoon, and I still plan on doing it, but I have not been able to get far into it without becoming very angry all over again here. So it's a very slow work in progress. 231 of the 574 federally recognized tribes are in Alaska, and Alaska only has one native reserved, the community of Metlakatla on Annette Island just south of Ketchikan. There are 9 major Alaska Native cultural regions and 22 Alaska Native languages, many of which are at risk of dying out due to colonization tactics. They were stewards of the land long before anyone from what they called outside arrived. While I do think it's good that the National Park Service exists to protect the land from those who would otherwise exploit it, it is also sad that a protection like that was necessary in the first place after thousands of years of subsistence. Back to the parks themselves. 3 of the 8 national parks are on the road system. All others must be ventured to via plane. The parks you can drive to are Kenai Fjords, Wrangell St. Elias, and Denali. Though in a couple of... Yeah.
For that one.
Oh, sure. Yes. Though in a... love your vehicles. isn't that a package? It's a trim package. For...
Yeah.
Ford? Dodge?
Dodge. Yep.
Dodge. Though in a couple of those, you can physically get to the park by car, but cannot do much else with your vehicle. You can also access both Denali and Kenai Fjords by train or bus, and Kenai Fjords, as well as Glacier Bay, can also be accessed by cruise ships. A few routes go through the national parks and have rangers on board that day to provide education. The parks that can only be accessed by plane, I suppose you could also walk, good luck, are Kobuk Valley, Lake Clark, Gates of the Arctic, which is the least visited national park in the United States, and Katmai National Park.
I'm going to guess because it's tough to get to.
Yeah, accessibility issues, right? At Katmai National Park, home of both the internet famous Fat Bear Week at Brooks Falls, where fans of the Katmai Bears vote bracket style to determine that year's ultimate fat bear, as well as home to today's story. If you've ever seen a photo of grizzly bears catching salmon over a waterfall, that photo was very likely taken at Brooks Falls in Katmai and is considered one of the most iconic wildlife photography spots in the United States. Sounds right up Nicole's alley.
Yeah.
Katmai National Park and Preserve is on land belonging to the Supiak/Aleutic, Dena'ina, Athabascan, and Yupik people. I've included a map from More Than Just Parks for Rachel and David's reference showing where the national parks are in Alaska in relation to each other. Shockingly, I have not been to any of the national parks in Alaska. Just the Forest Service managed by Misty Fjords National Monument. But in the summer of 2025, I hope to visit both Denali and Gates of the Arctic. So oh, here nice. We go. You can see why Gates of the Arctic, that's way the fuck up there.
Yeah, that's fucking way up there.
Denali's kind of in the middle. And Katmai's in the south. And
Gates of the Arctic is literally like on the same like latitude as like Norway.
Or possibly farther north?
Yeah, or like Iceland. Yeah, it's fucking it's up there.
It is. It definitely is. Traditionally, Alaska Natives were nomadic, not necessarily constantly in search of new places, but moving back and forth between camps throughout the year. Now you can find a lot of old white people doing the same thing between New York and Florida, among other places. Yes. For example, Ketchikan, Alaska was originally a summer fishing camp without much human activity in the winter, and as it is at the southernmost point of the Inside Passage, it's where people from the outside settled first. I realize Ketchikan comes up in almost all of my Alaska scripts, but while I adore that little city, its frequent inclusion is not entirely intentional. Alaska is a big place with comparatively few people, and the cities and towns are where they are for a reason. Near water or other resources necessary to survive or to make a profit, whatever your motivation may be.
That's also most cities worldwide.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, very true. Most of the modern history of Alaska will involve the same places and the same people over and over again. Most of the cities and towns are metaphorically tangled up in each other out of necessity and practicality. That just goes with the territory where when you are a land of 665,000 square miles, 1.7 million square kilometers, and 733,000 people. There's less than a million people in Alaska.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's like, I mean, imagine like a person per like square mileage. That's probably, you know.
Wow. Well, it's almost one person per mile.
Yeah, I mean, that's nuts.
We it's, have more than that in our county.
Yes, we do.
And we're not in a huge city.
No.
That's wild. Anyway, Alaska Natives being traditionally nomadic is an example of how colonization has hurt them beyond the theft of their language, family structure, and cultural practices, such as diet, clothing, and spiritual practices. Nowadays, one cannot move between a summer and winter home, building shelters in a convenient place as they go, and then breaking said shelter down and moving to the next place because all the land is, quote, owned, either privately or by the government. Now, living in different places in different parts of the year is a luxury for the wealthy, yeah. Because you have to own wherever mm-hmm. you're going, yeah. The establishment of borders has also complicated this. In the Great Lakes region, for example, the Ojibwe people's ancestral homeland is now part of two countries, the United States and Canada, and they cannot move freely between the two. Part of why we see national disasters impacting Native Americans, First Nations people, and Alaska Natives to a greater extent than we used to is both due to climate change increasing the ferocity of extreme weather and because even 100 or 150 years ago, people were not living in flood zones during flood season or in areas of a state with the harshest winters during the winter. People also moved around due to job opportunities or changing family dynamics such as marriages. Mm-hmm. In the 19th century, the villages of Katmai and Douglas had been used as trading posts by the Russian-American Company, but the villages were no longer economic hotspots by 1902. In 1911, the National Fur Seal Treaty, okay? I'm not laughing that
it's a fur.
It makes sense for the time. Limited the hunting of sea otters, which on paper appeared to be a good thing, lessened the commercial exploitation of animals, but the language in the treaty also limited the Alaska Natives' ability to use subsistence practices. But wait, when has Congress ever shoehorned in a weirdly oppressive provision to a bill that did something completely different?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Never.
I remember when I was reading through the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and got to the end, and there's shit in there that has nothing to do with taxes. I can tell you that.
Or jobs.
Yeah. I forget what it does have to do with. It was a while back that I read that.
Well, apparently in this last spending bill that they wound up passing, there was a provision in there that you can't hang gay pride flags in public.
Yeah, there it was. No, it was, I think it had to do with... like state buildings. It's right. not just anybody.
Correct. It was like,
yeah. You can hang a pride flag at your house. That's not.
But it's like. But it's like really like.
But still, really I know. Have such it's such a hard bullshit. On
for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you have to put it in a fucking spending package.
Are we surprised though? Are we surprised? You can go ahead if you. Oh no, you're still.
Oh, oh
yeah.
Here
go
we
ahead.
Go. Yeah. Trimmed my nails last night, so it's easy to open. There we go.
All right. Okay. This resulted... So getting back to the National Fur Seal Treaty. This resulted in many Alaska Natives migrating south and west to work in the salmon canneries, although the majority of the population at the new economic center, Chignik, were Scandinavians and people from Asia. Until 1910, many canneries refused to employ Alaska Natives due to the belief that they were dirty and had poor character, also known as racism. Yes, indeed. While it would not actually end until after the First World War, it was also at this time that the gold rush was tapering off, and cities like Nome and Skagway lost up to 80% of their population as people migrated south. And now we get to the eruption. Beginning on June 6, 1912, the Mount Katmai volcano exploded approximately 6.5 miles, 10.5 kilometers, from the peak, expelling magma of rhyolite, dacite, and andesite, about 6.7 cubic miles or 28 cubic kilometers of ash flow, and around 3.5 cubic miles or 14 cubic kilometers of magma volume, which is 30 times as much as the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens.
Shit. Which is something we've also yet to
we
cover.
Need, that's a big one. That's one we definitely
There have been
need
a couple
do.
Times where I've
You've almost
thought, well, thought about it, and then something else caught my attention. I was like, oh, I want to do that one.
Oh, but we can give an Easter egg since we've already recorded next week's. We've recorded slightly out of order. We've got a heavy hitter next week.
Which is also an anniversary.
Oh, little Easter egg there.
So, yeah. Don't look that up.
The eruption lasted 60 hours and resulted in 4.1 cubic miles or 17 cubic kilometers of air fall tuff. Tuff is rock formed from volcanic ash, and 2.6 cubic miles or 11 cubic kilometers of pyroclastic ash flow tuff. Pyroclastic flow is defined by National Geographic as a dense, fast-moving flow of solidified lava pieces, volcanic ash, and hot gases.
It's absolutely just fucking deadly. It's like if you terrifying. Get caught, if you get caught up in it, like it's game over. Like quite literally.
Ugh. Ash was sent approximately 100,000 feet or 30,480 meters into the air. In other words, if you'd have been well, they weren't flying planes at that point to the altitude we do now. But
that's about the same.
No,
yeah.
It's well beyond. Do you normally fly at like
30,000? Yeah, that's
100,000 feet?
Yeah, that's a little high.
Passengers on a steamer headed for Canada reported the men having to constantly clear ash fall off the boat deck until they got within 100 miles of Vancouver.
Wow.
Residents of the village of Kodiak were taken onto a Coast Guard vessel to be sheltered from the falling ash, but the vessel remained in the harbor due to the blackened sky and falling debris, making navigation away from the area more dangerous
sure.
than remaining in place. Jeez. Over the 3-day period, there were 14 magnitude 6 and greater earthquakes that occurred related to the volcanic eruption. 14. With the noise of both the eruption and the earthquakes, miners in the interior had initially thought they were hearing blasts from other mines.
Yeah.
About 1 month later, there was an earthquake at Denali, hundreds of miles away, and as the years went on, locals wound up confusing the two events, making timelines and stories harder to pin down and organize. There were approximately 63,500 people living in Alaska in 1912. Oh, I like this, because this is at the very bottom of the page, so I haven't turned the page yet, so we can both answer this. Roughly how many known deaths would both of you predict directly resulted from this eruption?
I'm going to go with, like, because Alaska is such a kind of barren place, I'm going to go with, like, maybe, like, 53.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea.
I have no idea. I feel like I might Samsonite this, because...
I'm probably going to.
I'm going to go... I'm going to do the $1 trick. Price is Right.
One.
And guess that nobody died.
Oh, okay.
Somehow. Maybe. I'm going to hope. I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed for Alaska in this one. Well, she doesn't answer right away, so we'll have to stay tuned, we'll just, I guess. I guess those are our predictions, Nicole. You can see how, you know how off we are, I'm sure. Predictably, this massive eruption caused permanent displacement of many communities, with several villages permanently buried in ash.
Jeez.
Yeah. Water supplies were also contaminated, requiring nomadic communities to abandon their usual summer camps for cities or places farther from the eruption. The eruption ended 3 days after it began, when the vent was plugged by a lava dome. The dome is still visible today, is now its own volcano, and was named Novarupta.
Okay.
Originally, the summit of Mount Katmai was believed to be the source of the eruption, as the top of the mountain appeared to have been blown off, and it wasn't until 1916 that Novarupta was discovered by botanist Robert Fisk Griggs on an expedition for National Geographic to study plant recolonization in volcanic areas. It took another 40 years for Novarupta to be confirmed as the source of the eruption. So there's the lava dome there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez.
Despite the magnitude of this eruption, the largest Alaska eruption in recorded history, and the largest worldwide in the 20th century, there are zero known deaths directly tied to the event. Yay!
Yes, that's much... See, we were both close.
Yeah. 53 is not bad. No. That was not particularly high, so yeah. This is likely due to the low population in the area, as well as the Alaska natives having lived in the area long enough to have seen previous eruptions, and passing down knowledge on what to do in the event of another one. While newspapers in the 48 initially proclaimed hundreds dead, days later corrections were issued that it was not as bad as initially thought. Of course, this was only not as bad as feared when it came to death toll, as hundreds of people had to relocate, and deaths surely did come later on from drinking contaminated water or breathing in the ash. Yeah, and those are the type of deaths you can't really track. Especially back over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
1912 was known in the Northern Hemisphere as being a cooler than average summer, and scientists believe that the ash in the air from the Katmai eruption was partially the cause.
Sure.
That's like the year without a summer stuff where these... It's wild that these volcanic eruptions can...
A big enough eruption literally just affects, like, the entire...
Earth, basically.
I mean, really, for some period of time.
Yes.
Not forever, but...
No. Well, it depends. You know, some of them, some earthquakes and stuff can slightly knock the Earth off its axis.
That is true.
I mean, tiny amounts, but still.
Still.
How fucking powerful does something have to be to even come close
to move the earth?
Yeah, literally. Yes. Yes. The summit of Mount Katmai, while not the source of the eruption, collapsed as magma drained from it to exit at Novarupta, and the summit is now a crater lake, not to be confused with Crater Lake National Park in Oregon. This phenomenon is why, for decades after the eruption, It was believed that the top of the mountain had been blown off. The next page has a photo. Oh, okay, yeah, that's the crater lake. That's very...
Yeah, I've always wanted to see that.
Well, that's this isn't cool. The one in Oregon.
Oh, that's this not. Is this the, is this the is Alaska, Alaska one? Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That looks pretty cool, too.
But yeah, Crater Lake would be cool to go to mm-hmm. in Oregon. In a Pacific Northwest tour, we need to
We do.
Get to the Pacific North. You've never been.
I never have.
Below is a screenshot from the UA Museum of the North showing the widespread effects of the eruption. Although the volcanic eruption wasn't local to the interior, its effects were widespread throughout the state. This is from the graphic that Nicole shared. Throughout the state, scattered stories now recorded in the newspapers of the day provide context for the scale of the event. The eruption was heard up to 550 miles away, so you can kind of see that. It was it was all over Alaska, all the way down towards Seattle.
Sure.
That's it. You have to get through Canada before
yes,
you get there.
Yes, you do.
While Katmai National Park was not established until 1980, the area was originally preserved due to its volcanic activity and the value studying the area could give to our understanding of volcanoes and what we can learn from them. A popular area to visit in Katmai National Park is the Valley of 10,000 Smokes, which was created by the 1912 eruption and has been the location of many scientific studies. Katmai became a national monument in 1918 and was upgraded to national park status on December 2nd, 1980, after years of legislation being stalled in Congress. No. Not our stalled. Huh? They're like the paragon of efficiency.
Well, I mean, back then, compared to today, they were very much so.
I bet they could pass a budget.
Yeah.
Anyway, and partially due to President Jimmy Carter flexing the authority given to him in the 1906 Antiquities Act, which gave legal protection to public lands. Carter expanded the borders of Katmai by 1,370,000 acres in the late 1970s. Now, I will intentionally reference Ketchikan again and mention that the Tongass National Forest and Misty Fjords National Monument was also protected by President Carter. Who is still living, by the way?
He's still hanging in there.
I say that. This is Friday. But, you know, I and he's in hospice, and God, I just hope, President Carter, that you are just not suffering.
Pull through.
Just don't suffer. That's all. That's all. To this day, Mount Katmai and Nova Rupta continue to be the location of experiments and observations by volcanologists to better understand volcanoes. It has been referred to as, quote, a 100-year-old open-air laboratory.
Oh, interesting.
Some studies have focused on determining the depth and temperature of the magma before the explosion, how underground magma systems form and evolve, and the effects on volcanic of volcanic eruptions on flora and fauna. Mount Katmai is still considered an active volcano.
Sure.
And that, my friends, is the story of Nova Rupta.
One of our few episodes that we've done with no fatalities.
Yeah.
Or at least directly linked to the event itself.
Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate stories like this one. And I like these stories too. Where we've got a disaster. You know, we do have an event. But really the most interesting thing about it is talking about something related to it.
Sure.
Right? Because then we're not sitting here dwelling on, like, some horrific thing that happened, but we're really just kind of expanding our knowledge of history or science or other stuff like that. That's the fun part. All the deep dives we get to do around it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the horrible parts. But nobody died.
Directly, yes, exactly. Yeah, we were...
So there's that.
I mean, really, I mean, neither of us Samsonited it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be cool to experience a volcano, but you know what I mean? Like, it, like where they were having to huddle up with people and, like, the sky was black and white.
Right.
Like, that would be, like, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, even though it'd be scary as fuck.
It would be one of those things, like, I would never seek it out.
Of course not. No.
But were I caught in it, I would see if there was any chance, aside from the panic, to just be like, what an amazing thing to experience. And hope I don't die from inhaling the ash.
Yeah, right.
But I see what you're saying. Like, it is a...
I mean, volcanoes are pretty rare.
It's, yes. Yes,
a volcano eruption. Explosion. Yes.
Yeah, like the huge eruptions.
Yeah.
And they are one of those events. Earthquakes, I mean, any natural disaster, but earthquakes and volcanoes, they're so sudden and violent.
And they're hand in hand because volcanic eruptions cause earthquakes.
They sure can. Yep. There's 14 in that were six at magnitude, I mean, six and over.
It's basically like a volcanic eruption is basically like the most violent thing that can happen to the Earth.
It's like the Earth self exploding.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's wild.
I mean, just on the island in, was it New Zealand or Australia, where there were people that lived through the volcanic eruption.
Oh, Fakati?
Yes.
White Island, Fakati. Yeah. And you saw the result of people who survived, like Stephanie Browett, who, is living with no fingers and... I mean, she's living an amazing... She's an awesome person, so of course she's living her best life because she's amazing. But she is living it as a disabled person now and had to go through absolute hell.
Extensive physical therapy.
And skin grafts and a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of shit just to even come close to
modern,
being able to...
Modern science and medicine, like, kept her going. Like, but this is 1912.
A little different.
So.
Yeah, that was 2019. It was a different time.
But,
But
you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be cool to experience, but it'd be cool to experience. Like, as long as you make it through.
If you could see it, but know that nobody was going to die, including you, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, why not? That sounds great. But that's the problem.
Yeah.
That, therein lies the issue.
Yeah.
Is that you cannot. You can't just...
Can't just sign up like, we're going to check it out and like see if we pull through. Anybody else? Like, hopefully everybody else does. And
No, thank you.
Thoughts and prayers?
No, thank you. I just prefer not to witness any natural disasters.
No. Yeah.
And they are those...
I mean, the three places I've lived, it's basically like the only thing we've got were blizzards and...
Tornadoes.
And like, a tornado occasionally. Very randomly.
It is pretty rare around here.
And the offshoot of a hurricane.
Yeah,
never directly like in the
we're
danger.
We're too far inland, so I would say overall we actually live in a pretty good place. Knock on all wood. A pretty good place for avoiding.
Watch a ship will wash up on I-40 tomorrow or on Monday when I'm going to work. It's nowhere near like a...
We'll have a volcanic eruption. We didn't even know we had any volcanoes.
Didn't even know we had one. Like, where was it this whole time? Oh, it was underneath us.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like the movie Volcano. Starring Tommy Lee Jones.
There was an underground volcano that nobody knew about?
It was underneath L.A.
What a bizarre premise for a film.
Yeah.
Under LA.
Yeah, they thought all the earthquakes were like just earthquakes.
Oh, but no, it was a secret underground volcano.
It was like there's a volcano coming.
That's goofy. That's just goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, it had Tommy Lee Jones in it and
Thomas Lee Jones.
Man, she was I can't remember the actress's name. She hasn't been in any Helen something?
Hunt?
No.
Mirren.
No, she was...
Keller. No, that doesn't even Helen Keller.
But anyway, like, okay, we've gone off base again.
Gotcha. We'll look it up.
Do that. And it's probably free on YouTube, I'm guessing. It's almost a 30-year-old movie.
Given the plot.
Yeah, it's almost a 30... Yes, and that. So yeah, you might be able to find it for free. If you're just like, I want to watch how terrible this is. You'd be like, yes. So that was, I'm going to go with the Great Eruption of 1912.
Maybe I'll call it Novarupta parentheses, the Great Eruption of 1912.
This has been another episode of All Bad Things. I'm David.
I'm Rachel.
We'll see you next week.